in Rochester, our debut in Rochester. We're on Sports Radio 950 ESPN Radio in Rochester. And who better to get on the show to talk about the Bills and Rochester than the Dean of Sportscasters in the Flower City from Wham TV. He's also the sideline reporter on the Bills preseason broadcast, Mike Catalana. Mike, thanks for very much coming on. How are you tonight?
Hey, good, Murph. How are you?
Good. We were talking earlier. I'm not quite sure what the Dean of Sportscasters is. Does that mean you're the oldest, the longest?
Yeah, you're old. You've been around the longest, and they haven't fired me yet. How's that sound?
That's good. Yeah. Hey, we appreciate you coming on. Last time I saw you was outside the Georgia Dome a couple of Saturday nights ago at the Final Four. You're down there covering Syracuse basketball. A couple of great basketball games that weekend. I know you're working, but I hope you got a chance to enjoy some of the hoops down there.
You know, I really did. It's a shame for a lot of Syracuse fans because I didn't think Syracuse certainly played their best game, and that game kind of moved along a little slower. But that final game was probably the best game I saw all year long, and it was, you know, great that it ended up being in the championship game. And, you know, I really thought Michigan was going to pull it off there, and they just went through those tough stretches late in the first half, and that Louisville defense just was a little too much for him. But it was a great experience being there for the Final Four, and I thought it was something to see.
Yeah, it really was. Well, Mike, we're on the air in Rochester as of tonight on Sports Radio 950 ESPN Radio in Rochester, so that's one of the reasons why we wanted to get you on the air. And I got thinking today about the Bills in Rochester. By my count, this will be, what, the 14th year coming up? The Bills have had training camp at St. John Fisher College. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And tell me what inroads the Bills have made in that market over those 14 years. I mean, is there a difference now in the Bills' presence in Rochester based on having training camp down there?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt there is. And we got to be honest, Murph. You know, back when the Bills were a Super Bowl team, it wasn't very difficult to keep Rochester as a viable secondary market and keep people locked in. I mean, when you're playing the way the Bills played during those years, some of the greatest in the history of the NFL, everybody's locked in. But we know, you know, over this period of time, it has not been that quality of football. And I do think having camp here and having fans see the team every day in the summer leading up to the season has really locked the fans in to the Bills. And I just want the day to come together where it's not only a Rochester, you know, based team in camp and all that goes on, but it becomes a winning team again. Then I really think it will, the level of interest in Rochester will explode at that point.
I wonder.
That's just the issue.
Yeah, I wonder if it's your sense that, you know, back in the glory run 20 years ago, the Super Bowl run, that maybe there were, what, more bandwagon fans, more casual fans, and maybe now, and don't let me put words in your mouth, but now have the Bills managed to build maybe more of a hardcore following in Rochester by virtue of the camp in that city?
Yeah, I think that has certainly helped. I think the NFL has gotten so much bigger that people are locked into. But, I mean, we have a lot of people making that trip for years to see the team. You know, they would make the trip to go to Fredonia, too, but it's not quite the same thing. So it's a little different now, the way people stay in touch with the teams. And you're right, I think the fan base is a little different now. But I know when I go to camp, and you know when you go to the camp, you know, you see the families, you see the Rochester people with the little kids, and they've got, you know, the Bills jerseys and all on. And they're the ones they really are connecting by having them at training camp. And that, is honestly, at the young age, doesn't have as much to do with wins and losses. So I think that part has really solidified that portion of the fan base of people who go out every summer and see them at camp and then stick with them during the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. That camp, training camp experience is so positive. I mean, you get a nice sunny day, or even better, a nice warm summer night down there at St. John Fisher when the sun's setting and the players are happy and they're signing autographs. I mean, I can't imagine there's a better training camp experience around the NFL than what goes on down there at St. John Fisher.
No, and I think it's starting to become a unique one. You know, we see more and more teams that are just keeping everything at the facility, and they have all different reasons for doing that. But you're right. I look in the crowd sometimes. You know, we'll stand there on the field, and I turn around and look in the crowd, and I think it really is tough to beat.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're out there, and, you know, people say, well, what goes on? I go, it's just practice. Don't get too worked up about that end of it. It's practice, but you get to see the players up close. You get to see them pretty much in a, you know, when I say relaxed, you know what I mean by relaxed, not like a game atmosphere.
Right.
And I will say one thing about the organization, the players, all the way from the time they've been here, very accommodating with autographs and everything else. And that part I rarely, if ever, hear fans complain. You know, sometimes things happen, but rarely, if ever, they get experience of being up close to them. And I know we're going to have the same thing this summer.
Excuse me, Mike. I saw a survey done by Siena College about the most popular sports teams in New York State. The Bills in upstate New York were ranked sixth, ahead of the Jets, behind the Giants. But in Rochester, is it safe to say the Bills are might be the most popular professional sports franchise?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. Well, I mean, you have a lot of Yankee fans still here, too, but baseball in general is not as strong as it used to be. The way we look at it, Murph, here at Channel 13, you know, the Bills by far are number one. And then, honestly, it's probably would be Syracuse basketball number two. Not a professional, but pretty close to it. And then beyond that, as you know, you'd go down to different teams. But the Bills by far are still the number one team. I think, you know, and we look at it, too, they cut through every demographic. Yeah. Everywhere I go, and even now, you know, whether it's at the gym, Wegmans, whatever it is, people want to know what the Bills are going to do. And yeah. It's been that way for a long time. And even more, they're just dying. They're just dying for back to where they were before. And that's why I think when that happens in Rochester, it's really going to take off.
Well, we hope we get to see it. We're on the line with Mike Catalano, the sports director at Wham TV in Rochester, sideline host on the Bills preseason broadcast on television. On our first night in Rochester, we're on Sports Radio 950 ESPN Radio in Rochester as of tonight. Hey, Mike, another team that you follow, I know quite closely because of your roots, are the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL. The Bills have signed a former Eagles quarterback to be at least one of their quarterbacks going to camp this year. Give us your thoughts on Kevin Cobb.
You know, I think Kevin Cobb has ability, and I saw him when he played for the Eagles look like a confident quarterback. Andy Reid showed a lot of faith in him when he brought him in, drafted him in the second round with their first pick in that year's draft. They didn't have a first-round pick. And when he played, especially early on, the guy was zipping the ball around, showed a good patience in the pocket, got rid of the ball, got it, and they had some speed guys, got it in their hands and made plays. And, you know, then at that point, you know, Michael Vick came along and kind of pushed Cobb out. And so they ended up making the deal. I mean, think about it. They traded him for Dominic Rogers-Cromartie and a second-round pick, which was a pretty high second-round pick. So that was the thought on Kevin Cobb at the time. There were other teams that wanted him, too. And, you know, he went to Arizona and just got beat up there. And it didn't work out well. So I think if he can get back to the point where he has that confidence, and can stand in the pocket, he throws a very nice football. And I think they needed a veteran guy. Now, is he the right one? I guess we'll have to wait and see, but they needed another veteran guy. I think it makes sense for depth. I think it makes sense for, even if he's a kind of a placeholder until whoever they draft, and I think still think they're going to draft somebody early, comes in. But I knew they would be looking at somebody, and I think Cobb is still young enough and talented enough that I think he can help this team.
He had some brutal hits that he absorbed in Arizona, some bad injuries, but did he have that kind of injury record when he was with the Eagles? I know he wasn't totally healthy, but he didn't get banged around like that, did he?
It's funny because that's what really got him knocked out in Philly, because he literally got knocked out. He took a hit in the game against the Packers on the opening game. He hits his head, and he ended up being replaced by Michael Vick. And from that point on, Vic took off. And if you remember that season, Vic played really well for 10, 11 games. And Andy Reid stuck with the hot hand and kept Vic in there. And Cobb never really regained his starting spot. He'd have a few moments when Vic got banged up. But it really was an injury that cost him the starting job. And, you know, I mean, that happened to other quarterbacks, too. And I think that combined, you know, with then going to a new organization, really setting back. Again, he's going to have to bring this back. He's going to have to show that he can command the huddle, move a team down the field and all. I just am saying that I have seen him do it at times with the Eagles. And I think, you know, given the time and the weapons, I think he can be an effective quarterback for a team. Well, I do think he's an upgrade over Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Really? Better than
Fitz? I think he has more talent than Fitz.
Interesting. While we're talking quarterbacks with Mike Catalano, let's talk about rookie quarterbacks, Mike. And when it comes to Ryan Nassib, it seems to me it's almost gone full circle the last few months. Around the time of January, everybody linked him to Buffalo, and because of the Marone and Nathaniel Hackett connection, and we talked to him a lot at the Senior Bowl in late January. And then there were other quarterbacks, and now it just seems to me, almost starting today or the other day, there's renewed interest in Ryan Nassib. I mean, you've got John Gruden today saying he's the best of all those rookie quarterbacks. Yeah, I mean, there's almost like a little mini bubble surrounding Ryan Nassib this week, it seems.
Isn't it the strangest thing how these guys move up and down? And, you know, when we were at the Combine, I remember the question I asked Nassib was, how important is it for you to be a first-round pick? And if you remember, he kind of laughed and said, 3 months ago, I was just hoping that someday to get picked to play in the NFL.
That's right.
And now all of a sudden, people are talking about him as that pick. I do think he's the kind of guy that in meetings, in interviews, when he's with John Gruden, marking plays on the board, he's going to look great. And I think he absolutely has ability to play in the NFL. I think it's going to take him a little while. I think he's talented. I think if you pick him at the right time and move him along the right way, I think he can play in the NFL and be a good, solid quarterback. I don't know if he'll ever be a star, but I think he can be a good, solid quarterback. I think he's a bit of a late bloomer. I think he was that way in college. I think he can make all the throws. He doesn't have a great arm. You know, you'll hear people compare him to a lot of different people. He's not huge, but he's, you know, decent size. I mean, he's like some of the other guys. Again, some people have him number one, just like Matt Barkley. Some people have him high. And, you know, I think Greg Cosell's got him in the fourth round.
Yeah.
So everybody's got their opinion on who it is. I think a team taking Ryan Nassib in the second round is going to be pretty happy with that pick. I think he's a guy who can play in the league. Whether if you try to make him your franchise guy, I think there's questions like there is on every other one.
You said a moment ago you expect the Bills to draft a quarterback fairly early. Do you mean first or second round?
Yeah. I think they'll, by the second round pick, they'll have taken a quarterback. And I don't know, you know, everybody has this love for Geno Smith, and I think Geno Smith is talented. A little concerned about him playing in Buffalo just because they all say, I mean, you heard Matt Barkley say he doesn't mind the weather. The
right.
kid from Newport Beach who played at USC says he doesn't mind playing in the cold weather. You know, I don't know about that with Geno Smith. I think in the second round, I think there's a lot of guys who could help this franchise. And I just mentioned Nassib. My favorite guy of all of them, EJ Manuel of Florida State. I don't know how he fits into Doug Marrone's system and, you know, and whether Nathaniel Hackett would like a guy like that. I think he's the kind of guy with a little bit of time could be a really, really good quarterback. He's got the size and the ability. But I think it may take him a little while. That's why I say, you hope that a guy like Kevin Cobb can play for a while if they need somebody in there before the rookie's ready. But I think Tyler Wilson's another guy that can play. I think there's guys that can play. I think last year kind of ruined it for a lot of quarterbacks because those guys just stepped in and did so well as rookies.
Mike, free agency opened up February 13th, and the Bills were quiet. And, you know, since then, they've signed a couple of players. But was there, you know, panic in the streets in Rochester like there was around some portions of Buffalo when, you know, free agency was moving along and the Bills had not made a strong move?
Yeah, you know, the funniest thing I heard from people, I heard somebody actually say legitimately, they're like, Bills never do anything in free agency. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, I'm guessing that Mario Williams, when he gets his check every week, is pretty happy with what the Bills did in free agency the year before. And even guys like, you know, Nick Barnett, when they got him, I think they got him relatively late. I mean, there's still guys out there. There's still guys out there that you can pick up. I'm kind of glad they didn't just go on a shopping spree and try to win March. I'm not saying that makes them a better team. I think they're hoping to fill some of these holes in the draft. And there's guys out there, there's guys on their current roster that they've brought back. I'm not too upset. I didn't see these game-changing guys out there. I mean, you know, I like Andy Levitre. I liked him as a player. I understand some of the reasons why they let him go and let him go to another team. And I think that, you know, becomes a concern. But I don't think you just jump right out there and go sign another guy just to spend the money. And I think sometimes teams get fooled into thinking maybe the Miami Dolphins are that team this year. You mentioned the Eagles before. They certainly were that team a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Thought they had everything fixed, and it ended up setting the franchise back 3 years. So it's not always the best way to go about business. But, yes, there was a little bit of panic of how come they haven't done anything. So I think they can correct a lot of that, at least in people's minds, with having what will be perceived as a strong draft.
Last question, Mike. What's the chance that the most significant improvement for the Bills this year comes on the defensive side of the ball without major free agent acquisitions or even maybe major draft pick acquisitions, just to have that group of players who on paper are pretty good, and they were going into last year, having them with a different defensive system and maybe, a defensive structure that's better tailored to the way they play. What's the chance that that's where the most improvement comes from this year?
I think you're calling it exactly right. I do think they need help at linebacker. I think linebacker really killed them last year. I think they have some talent in the secondary, and I think that defensive line severely underachieved last year. I think there's a lot of talent there. And I think, you got to give Mike Patton a chance to come in and get his system going. We know there's plenty of room to improve. I mean, last year was just so disappointing defensively. And I like some of the guys personally that were there, but they needed to move on. Need to get younger, need to get more aggressive defensively. And I think certainly the cupboard is not there defensively, especially up front. And I think if he can really get that D-line together, a little bit of improvement in linebacker, and the secondary playing a little smarter than they did a year ago, I think you could see. I think you're right. I think that could be the place you see major improvement, and keep the team in games more that we didn't see a year ago. And I think Patton could end up being the biggest offseason acquisition they have if he is what they hope he is.
Yeah, what everybody says he is. Mike, thanks. We'll let you get back to work. Thank you very much for being on the air with us tonight.
No problem, Murph. Thanks.